I work today with the Jesuit Refugee Service in the MENA region, the Middle East and North Africa area. Our kind of political area of work consists of Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, the Kurdistan area of Iraq. The whole world knows that for the last several years, this part of the Middle East has been one of the hotspots of the world. Earlier, some years ago, we had the whole issue of Iraq, where hundreds and thousands of people were displaced internally, had to seek refuge in other countries. And then for the last about 6 years, from 2011 March, we have had the problem in Syria, in which we have had hundreds and thousands of Syrians who have either been internally displaced or who have sought refuge in other countries, mainly in Lebanon, in Turkey, Jordan, and a few of them also in Iraq. And now, of course, not far away from us, in Yemen, there is a major problem today where violence is escalating every single day, but we're not involved in that area. I would like to highlight maybe three dimensions just now where the refugees are concerned. The first is the plight of the displaced and refugees. I think, and Pope Francis reminds us all the time, that the suffering of the forcibly displaced, whether it is internally or the fact that they have to seek refuge in another country, is really something that should touch the hearts, the souls of every single human being in this world. Nobody likes to leave their home, a place which they once called their home, their work, their safe turf, the place where their children are educated, they have their neighbors, they have their friends, they have their lands. Nobody likes to leave that. Out of choice, yes, people are migrated to different parts of the world. That's a totally different thing. But when you are forcibly displaced, to flee overnight, to leave all your possessions, your loved ones, and just flee to you do not know where, is something, this insecurity is something which nobody would like to face. And yet today, very especially in the context of Syria, there are hundreds and thousands of people who are facing this day in and day out. The sufferings of these people are compounded several times over. One thing is that there are different players in this war which is affecting Syria today. And everyone obviously is blaming the other. There are a lot of external powers that are also involved in this. So our first thing is, how do we mitigate the suffering of the refugees, of the displaced? How do you bring hope to them? How do we help them maybe live a life of greater security, of greater stability? It is true that countries like Lebanon, even Jordan, Turkey, have been able to take in millions of refugees from Syria. But this also has a lot of pressure on the host country. It's not easy. The other things that refugees, particularly in our area, have to be confronted with is a feeling of not being wanted. This is sad. This is unfortunate. Jesus reminds us in the Last Judgment about this whole question of being a stranger. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And Pope Francis takes pains again to remind us to be inclusive, to welcome. Not too long ago, he reminded every single Catholic parish in the whole of Europe to welcome at least one refugee family. And he has done it by example. He has gone to Lesbos, he has gone to other parts of the world and brought in here to the Vatican, to Syrian refugees, families. And he wants us all to do likewise, because this is exactly what Jesus wants us to be doing. So how do we try to overcome a sense of exclusiveness, of maybe prejudice, of jingoism, of xenophobia, which has seized a good part of the world, an attitude, and welcoming the other, welcoming the stranger, is definitely a Christian virtue, is part of our discipleship today. The sad thing is, many of us Christians find it very, very difficult to do so, and this compounds the suffering of refugees who really want to be welcomed, who really have left everything and lost everything and come to some place which they hope can be their second home. There is a second dimension. All of us, and particularly the refugees and the displaced, would like war to stop just now. Nobody wants or welcomes violence. Nobody welcomes the fact that there is conflict all the time. How do we stop wars? Who are the big players? Are we paying close attention to the arms and ammunition industry, the military-industrial complex that Pope Francis himself is reminding us constantly? What is the role they play today in the wars, in the conflicts in the Middle East and in other parts of the world? Why are we not upfront on this? Which are the countries that are buying the arms and ammunition? What about the peddlers of arms and ammunition, of guns, the mercenaries, as we call them? How does one accept the fact that it is one of the most lucrative businesses in the world today? Mahatma Gandhi reminds us that our world should get along only with non-violence. That is why he gave to the world his twin doctrine of Satyagraha, which is the force of truth, and non-violence, Ahimsa. And how can we live in a world which is not violent? It is true. Non-violence is also something negative, but we are talking about a peaceful world in which there are no guns, there are no missiles, there is no mortar shells, which constantly disturbs the peace and security of the area. The third and the final point is, how do we look into wider society, into civil society, people from all over the world? Is the conflict and what is happening in the Middle East only a conflict, a problem of people living in the Middle East? Or is it a real issue for the whole world? The United Nations has definitely taken very strong stance. How do we express our concerns to say that what is happening maybe in the Middle East, to the refugees, to the displaced, is wherever I am, my concern too, my problem there? How do I engage with the government of my own country? How do I engage with those who matter, policymakers, decision makers, to advocate for the rights? You know, we have a lot of, you know, United Nations declarations and protocols and agreements which guarantee the rights of refugees, those who have been forcibly displaced in any part of the world. How do we engage with policymakers and governments? Therefore, perhaps in my own country, how do I create greater awareness? Many of us are so taken back by only maybe hearsay, maybe certain gossip, certain prejudices, rumors, and we don't realize that refugees, the displaced people, are ordinary people like you and me who suffer not because of a choice, but because they have no choice. And Jesus wants us to respond to them with mercy, with love, compassion, and inclusiveness, to make them feel very truly that they are our sisters, they are our brothers.